306 DGS. I'm excited to go home and do my Dr. Kathy Maupin test.
Yeah.
It's a swab.
Say it looks easy.
You can swab me.
That's the best test ever. Yeah.
I'll swab for anything. Love a good swab. I'd rather swab than not swab.
Yeah.
You know? Like when it comes to a blood test or something, like I'd rather take a punch in the face.
Same.
But when it comes to swabbing?
Man, I had to take like a allergy test or something like that where you had to prick your finger yourself and then like blot the blood.
On.
I just kept pretending like, I'm like, I don't know what happened to it. I must have gotten lost in the mail. Like, I just didn't do it. I couldn't get myself to do, like, I'm such a baby, but I couldn't pierce my fingertip and get the blood out.
Wheels, one time I had to have a blood test to buy some life insurance. And so the lady was going to come out, the nurse was going to come out at 8 a.m., and they called me at 7:30 a.m. to make sure everything was still cool. And she said, you didn't eat anything, did you? And I had not. I had fasted, but I really didn't want to get my blood taken. And I go, oh, does coffee count? And she goes, well, did you have cream or sugar? I'm like, well, I think I had both of those. And she goes, well, you should still be okay. And I go, well, I may have had a piece of bacon or two. And now, unbeknownst to me, I'm on speakerphone, and everyone there knows who I am and listen to the show. And they know I'm lying my ass off. And so she puts me through my paces, and I end up going through a whole, like, continental hotel breakfast.
Oh, I forgot about the pancakes.
I think I had some toast, actually.
I really honestly did. And she said they were all, like, covering their mouth, trying not to just bust out laughing.
They were under
you. She let me off the hook. She goes, well, I can come back out next week.
Did you do it the next week?
Yeah. I mean, I had another.
You should have just done it the first time.
I know I should have.
Why would you get something out of the way?
Listen to this guy over here.
Yeah, now he's going to say he doesn't procrastinate.
No, I totally procrastinate.
I would never be afraid of pricking my finger.
I'm not. I would totally do it. I'll do it right now for no reason.
Oh, don't. Don't do it. I'm begging you.
Don't wipe your blood all over everything.
I make sure I have a Band-Aid.
Stairway to Kevin?
Sure. All right, so relatively serious topic, but I don't want to get too in-depth on it, just more of a general version of this. So there was a story yesterday that piqued my interest just in the concept of re-examining things. It was that Biden's moving to maybe put some changes in for the Supreme Court, and they're talking about changing law through Congress, by the way, not just doing it, but through Congress. And forgetting that, should we maybe be talking about rethinking things that were written 240 years ago, 250 years ago? So, for example, using the Supreme Court, it was originally lifetime appointment, right? When the age expectancy of an American was 38, nobody envisioned at the time that the Constitution was written that Supreme Court justices would sit on the bench for 40 years or 50 years in some cases. Nobody envisioned that because it wasn't possible. There were some outliers. I mean, there were people that lived a while. Benjamin Franklin lived to 80, I think. But it wasn't a normal thing. And certainly you were not considered working when you're 75 years old in 1776.
Yeah,
unheard of. And so this is one topic. This is the Supreme Court. But I mean, bigger than that, there are so many things that were written 250 years ago that were not foreseeable now. There are two questions in here. Should we consider having these conversations about, you know, maybe they didn't intend for Supreme Court justices to be there for 45 years because nobody was alive 45 years back then on average. And could we even do it? Like, even if we wanted to, you know what, that's a good idea, Wheeler. We should reexamine those things. Is it even possible in today's structure?
My answers would be yes and no. Yes, we should consider it. And my answer would be update anything you want, so long as it's fair. And the interesting thing about fair in United States politics is it should always be fair.
Yeah.
Because whatever rule you implement, you're going to have to deal with when you're on the crappy end of the stick.
Right.
And you will be.
Yes.
No one runs the table forever.
No.
We see that now. The reason they want Biden to step aside is they think they're going to run the table and they will control everything for 4 years.
Right.
Even if they do, they probably won't control it for 8, and they're certainly not going to control it for 12, and no one's ever controlled it for 16. And so if I agree to a rule about the filibuster or about how long Supreme Court justices can stay, it's going to affect me negatively at some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the problem with it is I don't like the idea of doing it in the reactionary way that we do. I don't want people to be like, we don't like what the Supreme Court's doing. Let's change it. We should be talking about these things, though, when things are good. Like, when things are calm, we should, like, you know what we need to do? We need to sit down and say, you know, does it really, truly make sense? If we want to be specific to the Supreme Court, does it really make sense to have a lifetime appointment? I don't know. I don't have that answer. I haven't studied it. I haven't talked to experts. But I think those are things we have to ask. Does that make sense? Was somebody being there? I would say this the same thing for the Senate. You guys know I've said this forever. I think there should be term limits. I don't think you should be able to hold those positions for 40 years. I don't think that's the way it was meant to be because nobody did those things back then because nobody lived long enough to do it. And I shouldn't say nobody, but so few people, right? What's the average life expectancy now? 80?
About 80.
And it used to be 38 when the Constitution was written. So the world has changed in ways that they could not have envisioned. We should update those things and maybe talk about it.
Parenthetically, do you think when people live to be 38, 40, 45, that they necessarily packed more living in? Or do you think it would be like 200 years from now, people live to 150? And they say, these poor schmucks used to be dead at 80.
Right.
I wonder if they packed so much living in, and we're not.
I mean, I don't know. It's a good question. And I also know that, like, averages are imperfect in this conversation, right?
Yeah, Ben Franklin was in his...
Because he was in his 80s. And there were, but there was also high infant mortality in those years. So that, that changes the average. So maybe if you use a median, maybe it's a little older. But it still wasn't 80.
Yeah.
It still wasn't to the point where...
And certainly not working at 80.
Exactly. And it wasn't to the point where people in positions of power would hold those for four decades. That wasn't a thing. And I you know, that you can't, no matter, nobody, those guys that wrote the Constitution, they designed a great system. And they also wrote in their own hand that if these things ever become a problem, you should change them.
Yeah.
Right? It was never, we are perfectly ordained from the Lord above and you should never change anything we do.
I really think the whole, like, if you brought them back to life, I think they would be shocked at how much we're still following it.
Yeah, I think, and in some ways, it's a good thing. We've needed it. You know, you need to have guideposts from people that haven't been alive and nobody knew them, right? Right? Because if you knew some of those guys, you'd be like, that guy was a jerk. That John Jay guy was a jerk. And, you know, you could go through all that. And we have those things about modern people because we can see their jerkiness. Mm-hmm. With the founding fathers, most of what we know of them is the good stuff. This great structure that they gave us to handle things that has lasted 250 years. And it, by the way, does not need to be torn up and put away. But everything needs updating, right?
But to answer your ultimate question, I don't think it's possible under the current or any time in the foreseeable future because of how we are.
No, we won't agree.
About you getting the better end of the stick.
That's right. We're too worried about the advantage in the back and forth fight. Yeah. And not about what makes sense. Because I would say, like, for the Supreme Court justices, to me it makes sense that it's not a lifetime appointment, that it's a fixed amount of time, maybe a long time, maybe it's 25 years. But with the understanding that at some point you will diminish. At some point your life is going to become more difficult for health reasons, like we've talked about for many other things. And also at some point it's important to have people in roles that are a little more connected to day-to-day life as opposed to people that haven't been a part of that for 20 years.
Take out the whole, we know that Ruth Bader Ginsburg should probably step down, but she can't under Trump and she can.
Right.
If it were, no matter when you are nominated, you get 25 years or you retire at 80, whichever comes first. At least then it's set.
And nobody would want to change it now on the conservative side, because it's a conservative
court.
On
the table.
And if you flipped it, nobody would want to switch, right? If it was a liberal court, then nobody would want to switch it on the liberal
side. There's never going to be a perfect time.
There's no way that we get to a point where we come up with what makes common sense versus what my team needs to win.
Yeah. And in the olden days, before we all started paying attention, people were just taking care of this kind of stuff. People were literally in back rooms making deals that, you know, sometimes were self-serving, but I have to think a lot of times as an optimistic institutionalist that they were doing it for the right reasons and got us through a lot of really difficult times in the country. I think that's true. But now we're all watching, we're all invested, we're all super fans, and it doesn't happen that way anymore.
And think about the advantage of that time, because all you had to do was be better than a king ruling you from across the ocean.
Right.
Right. You didn't. The standard wasn't nobody there was all that thrilled about the old way. There were some, obviously. There were people that were still loyalists that wanted to keep things the way that they were, probably because they were making money from it being that way. But it's a little easier to create something that doesn't have an automatic opposition versus now, where any idea from the wrong side of the aisle is going to just fall apart.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure if this Dave Murray kid's going to make it. He's the opposite of a tryhard. He's not even fake hustling. When he can't be with us, when he has cataracts removed from his eyes or his grandchild is there, he sends us a live look, but he doesn't do the show live. So he has a live look today, and I'm like, oh, grandchild? Surgery? No. He's playing golf.
He's got
rest of the week playing golf.
Is that because they missed all the rain?
That could be. He's sheepish.
People giving him crap.
Doesn't want to even face it.
I always love that. We blame the weatherman for, like, weather.
And it's a joke, but in some way, right, we really feel that way.
Yeah,
no, I'm not joking when I say it. I'm 100% serious. It's his fault, and he will answer for it.
It's a planet in a solar system.
That is constantly changing.
Constantly changing. And we're like, you said 2 inches of snow.
You got it wrong.
You said 89 degrees, loser.
It was 88.
We have some audio?
Yes, we do. We have plenty of audio. Let's start with mine. Mine's pretty lighthearted and cute. So this is a kid. I think he's on an Amtrak train. And it's just really cute. He's allowed to give an announcement. And just a little backstory, the train employee who has allowed him to do this is so supportive and so sweet and just lights up with the biggest smile listening to him give this announcement. Let's listen.
Attention all passengers in coach 257. Coach 257 will not open at Maple. Maple is our next station. And once again, if you are located in coach 257 and wish exiting at Maple, please make your way through the train in the opposite direction the train is traveling. Once again, Maple's next.
You're so good!
Yeah, he's probably 7 years old.
Guess who's the one person who hates this?
It's Dave Glover.
Yes. If we are on moving transportation, I don't want any shenanigans. I don't want any jokes. Cute kids can kiss my butt.
But what if his passion is trains?
That kid nailed it.
He did so well.
No, it was awful. These people have no real information. All they know is something a kid said.
He just read the same stuff an old guy would have read.
I've been on the show for 8 years. I can't believe I didn't see this
coming. We've hit some buds. And we're on fire. You did so good. That was so great.
We've derailed.
Oh my God, that is awesome.
If you're on 257, you're screwed. Thanks, kid.
Little kids all sound like Elmer Fudd.
Put the pilot on. Let me talk to the engineer.
He says we're going to quack.
Well, I thought it was cute.
That is funny.
Well, that's bad news, but it just sounded so cute.
Now, the kid did do a good job.
Yeah, he did excellent. He wasn't reading or anything. He remembered that and said it himself.
Oh, my God.
Okay, but like, it wasn't that hard. I mean, it's not like
I would have a hard time if I didn't have notes and it's like, okay, the stop, we're not gonna open the car at that stop.
I'm not gonna lie, even when I was listening to this audio to put in the system, I was like, this isn't that impressive.
Well, it was adorable.
You could have done
it
way better, couldn't you?
Yeah, like I could have done this. I thought we were, you know,
making new ground here.
I have to pretend this is exemplary. I mean, you know, he's just reading a thing.
Oh, man.
We have time to squeeze in this Matt Gaetz audio. Speaking of
children.
Sure.
Speaking of the underage.
This is the Matt Gaetz McCarthy audio, where McCarthy's doing a TV interview and Gaetz is trying to interrupt him.
One who's not coming back, and then the other part that you have, and the other part you have is one person who raised the issue. He's got an ethics complaint about paying sleeping with a 17-year-old. So that's the way they would go. So that's the biggest challenge we have.
So they had that moment on live TV where Gates is trying to interrupt, and McCarthy's like, "Yeah, this guy over here, he's got an ethics complaint about having sex with a 17-year-old." And meanwhile, Gates was getting after somebody else, and another guy, an unknown guy, just somebody at the convention, stopped him, and he's like, "You're just being an a-hole. You stop." And Gates like, "Who are you? It doesn't matter who I am. You're being an a-hole. Leave."
Good
it was awesome.
You wouldn't think white people love dancing to this song.
Oh, yeah.
I really fought playing it in the band. I told Dave Cowles, who ran my band, like, "Dude, we're a rock band. We're a dance band. No one's going to dance to this." He's like, "Yeah, you watch." Every time you pull it out, people go crazy. Then again, Jimmy sang it, so people love Jimmy. Mm.
Can you quickly just do an impression of how people would dance to it? Because I'm having a hard time picturing. Okay. Kind of like an Elaine.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because it's kind of a slow song, so you can't, you know.
But it's not full-on slow. You kind of have to slow dance with yourself a little bit.
Exactly.
It's not like the junior high slow dance kind of thing.
No, right. Although I've seen people try it.
Yeah, I could see that more than the other. Like more than the actual
point,
dance.
So for, I think it was 8 to 10 years. I forget how many it was, but it was definitely 8 at least. My band played down on the main stage at the Hyatt, the old Adams Mark, and there'd be like literally 3,000 people. It was unbelievable. We had two big rooms and multiple bands going, just nuts. And the worst moment of my year was usually playing Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton while people slow danced on New Year's Eve. Oh, it's just terrible. Hated that song.
Mm. I hate the song.
Lady in Red.
Yeah.
You know, you've inspired me with the dancing thing. I'm not a great dancer. It's probably a shock to everyone listening. But maybe if I just started doing like the Macarena to everything, like make it fit into any song.
Sure.
That would be great.
Just kind of like groove to it.
Yeah,
that would be my move.
That's how I dance. You just vibe. You just feel the music.
Yeah, but those are two extremely different things.
Yes, they are very much.
Doing a set up dance, you can achieve that. Whether you're a great dancer or not, you can achieve it, especially if it's something fairly simple. Just freestyling like you do, that's attitude.
Mm-hmm. What if you could just do the chicken dance for everything?
Andrew kind of dances like Trump. I'll be the one to say it.
Yeah.
Somewhere it's between mostly arms.
If Trump had been a Peanuts character, that's how you dance.
It's mostly arms because I'm sitting down, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'd be weird if it was all legs.
Yeah. So it's like you got to get the arms involved.
You ever do the dance? Like they dance like they're driving a car? That's what Trump does. He looks like he's driving a car.
That's one thing it looks like.
Yeah. Definitely not the first thing that I thought
of. They did like a minute-long compilation of him dancing at the RNC, I think last night. Yeah. And people were going nuts. Everyone was dancing in the audience. They were dancing like him.
Do they all do the Trump dance?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
I want to see them do it to Last Dance with Mary Jane.
Dave's out, I guess, rest of the week doing a golf tournament. So he sent us now it's not a bad week to have him out because the weather appears to be pretty steady and pretty nice. So we don't have to worry about big storms or anything. But here's his live look.
The big time rains are over now. It's a chance to start to dry out across the area. However, some numbers before we get into the forecast. The wettest July on record is 1948, 12.69 inches. Now, rainfall from Tuesday ranged anywhere from 1 to 6+ inches. Officially, 1.86 fell in St. Louis, though that's at the airport. There were some wild numbers across the area. That brings our total for the month to 7.45 inches. So we're well short of the record right now, but we still have a ways to go. But it's mainly a dry weather pattern now. There's still a chance of a spot thunderstorm as we get into the evening just because of the low-level humidity. But for the most part, the northwest flow is taking control. Thursday is a gorgeous day. Lots of sunshine, nice, the high 81 degrees. Now, still some low-level humidity around on Thursday, but that northwest flow will be drying things out. Thursday night, clear skies, 59 degrees. Friday, sunny and 81. And let's keep the pattern going with the northwest flow for the weekend. Saturday and Sunday, partly sunny skies, 83 degrees. So a stretch of resort weather coming up for St. Louis. Just delightful over the next several days. Hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy. And again, it's a chance to really dry things out. I'll keep you up to date on the weather as we go through the next several days.
Okay, good. Good, good, good.
Mm-hmm.
Headlines?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Let's talk about the RNC. That's, you know, some of the big news of the day. Let's see. We'll start with this. RNC attendees are wearing ear bandages to show their support for former President Trump. Some are wearing white bandages over their right ears, mimicking the bandage that the former president wore during his appearance on Monday and Tuesday night.
How did I not see that coming? Mm-hmm. I'm with Wheels. I hesitate because I'm sure we have friends there, but you take people who are already the most fanatic about anything, Andrew about his Magic the Gathering game, or me about Bigfoot, and then you distill it down to like the top 10 or 20,000 people in the country, you give them a straw pork pie hat, and you put them in a room, and this is what you get.
Oh, I didn't think it was that weird.
Really?
No, I mean, I wouldn't do it, but I don't think there's anything like bad about putting the bandage on.
No, it's just the dorkness. Like, don't do that.
Okay.
Just support the guy. Don't do that. I'm sure I'm the a-hole and they're just having fun with their lives and I'm not. I'm over here miserably just judging them. But I do.
I agree with you. You judged correctly, though.
I agree with you, too.
Well, I
think weird.
You should get yourself one of those.
Yeah, I'll wear one tomorrow. A knife-wielding man was shot near the RNC. Officers shot and killed a man who was wielding multiple knives near the convention yesterday. This is a very sad story. The suspect was reportedly an unhoused man who is mentally distressed. The officers who shot the suspect were wearing body cameras, and the footage will be released soon. In a separate incident on Monday, a man wearing a ski mask and carrying an AK-47 pistol, that's in quotes, was arrested near the site. So,
jeez.
Yeah, scary stuff out there.
It's a great way to get shot. You know, like if that's what you're looking to do, just show up at the RNC with a weapon.
Yep.
Gavin Newsom is helping to keep order at the RNC in Milwaukee. He has sent 61 extra law enforcement officers to the event. In a statement, Newsom said, "Public safety transcends party lines. California is proud to support our law enforcement colleagues in Wisconsin during this important political event."
No, I didn't understand what he had to do with Wisconsin.
I was thinking that too. I'm like, wait, what? Interesting. So they loaned people.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Boy, the so much of this Secret Service stuff with Trump is really seeming to come down to just not having enough people. I mean, maybe I'm not just looking to spend money. I'm pretty fiscally responsible when it comes at least to other people's money and our money in the coffers for the United States. But maybe we need to invest $1 billion. Maybe we need to hire more Secret Service agents. If we don't have enough people to put someone on that roof, if we don't have enough people and they're constantly complaining about we can't cover everyone, especially during the election season, well, maybe make some more hires. This is pretty important stuff that we're doing.
Speaking of that rally, Trump spoke with the widow of the firefighter who was killed at the Pennsylvania rally on Saturday. "I apologize if I'm pronouncing his name wrong, but he was 50-year-old Corey Comparator, was struck by a bullet while trying to shield his family from gunfire. His wife said on Facebook that Trump called yesterday and was, quote, very kind. She also said that President Biden reached out, but she didn't speak with him because my husband was a devout Republican and he would have not have wanted me to talk to him."
Wow.
Yeah,
she explained more, though, because I saw that quote and I was like, wow, that's pretty, you know, like hardcore. But then she went on and said, "I don't have any ill will towards Joe Biden. I'm not one of those people that gets involved in politics. I support Trump. That's who I'm voting for. But I don't have ill will towards Biden. He didn't do anything to my husband. A 20-year-old despicable kid did." So it was more like
yeah.
It's interesting to refuse that call, but
mm-hmm.
whatever. I mean, I'm fine with people who decide not to go to the White House for whatever reason, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, because it's a conservative or a liberal White House, doesn't matter to me. I'm cool with that. I did like her explanation beyond that, though. Like, hey, I don't have anything against that guy. This is what my husband probably would have wanted. So I'm honoring that.
Yeah.
6,900 pounds of hot dogs have been recalled for not being inspected. I just thought that was valuable information for our show.
Why did I look at Andrew?
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah.
I was like, do you know about this?
I haven't heard about this yet. Where were they recalled from?
So AW Farms, this is a Kentucky meat manufacturer. I don't think these are your brands, Andrew, so I think you're safe, but I just wanted to put it out there. Let's see. Restaurant and hotels are being urged not to serve the hot dogs, yada, yada, yada. Okay, it's all hot dogs that come in 10-pound boxes.
Yeah,
He's still listening.
Yeah. He still needs the information.
Yeah, yes, and?
He's like, are there other kinds of hot dogs?
I didn't know you. That's the quantity in which you purchase hot dogs.
You know, earlier we were talking about the founding fathers and the Constitution and all this. This is an interesting story. Archaeologists have found musket balls from the Revolutionary War. Have you guys seen this story?
No.
Five musket balls were found in the Minuteman National Historical Park in Concord. Researchers believe they were fired at British forces during one of the war's first major battles. The famous shot heard round the world on April 19th, 1775.
That's really cool.
Yeah. They were put on display for the first time last weekend.
That's neat.
Very neat.
That's as old as we've got.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
And my final story here, interested to hear you guys' thoughts on this. Changes are coming to the ACT exam, including the science portion being made optional. It's being removed from the ACT's core sections, leaving just English, reading, and math as the portions that will result in a college reportable composite score ranging from 1 to 36. The science section will be optional, and students who choose to take the science section will receive a standalone score from that section in addition to a STEM score that combines the math and science sections, and the optional writing section already yielded its own score. So
this sounds like something I've been saying for years that we should do, which one, ACT does not tell the story. And for people like me, soft people who are good at the soft sciences, because I was in the 30s, believe it or not, on my reading comprehension and things like that. I aced the LSAT because there's no math and there's no science. It's just thinking and logic games and reading comprehension. But I tanked on the math and the science on the ACT. So I ended up with like 19, 20, something good enough to get into SIU and run track. But not everyone is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I could be wrong about this. I could be being stereotypical the other way, but I'm going to guess that people who are good at math and science are better at reading comprehension than people like me who excel at that are at math and science. So I feel like we're at a disadvantage.
I'd say so. I think part of it too should be like, it's all about what you want to study.
Yeah, if I'm not trying to be an engineer.
I was not going to study any science in college. I knew what I was going to study by the time I was taking the ACT. I was going to be studying broadcasting, broadcast journalism, nothing science-based. So why should I have to be tested on that? Even though in school, in grade school, my science grades were fine. There was nothing weird about it. I had to work harder to get those grades than other classes. But like, why should you be tested on something you are not going to pursue?
Right.
Welcome back, 351 DGS. We have Tom Ackerman's going to join us at the top of the hour, talk some sports, talk some Cardinals, talk some Tom Ackerman stuff. So I can't believe this has lasted for 2 minutes on the Google Doc, much less 2 days. But Rach, what is a fart walk?
What?
Oh, they're the hot new trend. It's called a fart walk, and it's when you have a big meal and things are digesting and you're about ready to start farting. And instead of just sitting on your couch, you get outside, you get yourself moving, and you get to farting out
this
in the wild.
Thing.
This is a thing. People
in
are
doing.
Yeah, people are doing it intentionally because they say it's good for their digestion. It makes them feel really nice.
I mean,
so the hot new trend.
How's that different from going for a walk after dinner and maybe tooting while you're out there?
It's the same thing, Dave, but now we call it fart walk.
Oh,
we just renamed a thing that people already did again.
That people have done since we've had rectums.
Mine is just from the upstairs to the basement.
Oh.
Say it like that.
Yeah, that upset all of us.
Yeah. I feel bad for the dogs.
Oh, they don't care. Dogs are the worst offenders, man. Those guys, geez, every walk they take is a fart walk.
Yeah, blame on the dog.
There's nothing worse than when a dog farts. I'm sorry.
There's some things worse, but that's pretty bad.
I mean, it's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
They seem to know.
Oh, my dog Max, who's obviously no longer with us, but he would do it and then leave.
He was ashamed.
No, he just wanted to get away.
He's like, it's stinking here.
He did it every time. You'd be like, oh, no. And he's already across the room, like looking back at you.
Can cats be shamed? I know dogs can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of if Lucy has ever seemed ashamed. She's very full of herself, and I mean that with love, so it's kind of hard to get her to be like, oh, yeah. I feel bad. But she has farted before, and it does not smell good. Yeah.
Mm.
Cat toots.
I have to believe it's her. Anyway.
My dog, Lucy, scares herself.
Scares herself?
When she farts, she freaks herself out and runs across the room like, ah! I'm telling the truth.
Not a joke.
No, she scares
Biden
herself.
Style.
It happens all the time.
Your house sounds crazy.
Other than my wife, my house is crazy.
She lives with a crazy person.
And Susan screamed like a horror movie when she farted, and you put all three of those things together.
Yeah.
Your dog scaring himself. You're just walking up and downstairs farting, and Susan screaming like a horror movie.
I mean, a couple of those things are true.
Jeez.
No screaming, though.
We have one more audio we can do.
I don't think we have time to play it because it's like a minute long and we have to take a break in like 30 seconds.
Well, we'll all just sit here for 30 seconds and see how
anybody,
that sounds.
Anybody got any other fart stories?
They're calling it fart walking and it's the hot new trend.
But you know, on the shaming thing, you cannot shame my male dog, R2. He cares nothing about your opinions.
Really?
Oh, no, you can.
Bring him in. Let's try.
You get him mad. You get mad at him. You'd be like, get over here. He'll just be like, whatever, bro. Just stare at you. He's like, you don't matter. He's got attitude.
I'm trying to shame his dog over here.
No, you can't. Like, yeah, you can't shame him.
Natty, wish we could play some audio.
A little bit.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.